Hey, what's up, family?
This is Got Life and In Between, hosted by Dalali and
Walali, and together we are
the Dalalis. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Got Life and In Between. Today we wanted to share like some testimonies. Just because sometimes it is important to remember like the things that God has done and the ways that he has touched our lives. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we tend to, you know, think about our problems and forget that he has done it. He has done miracles in the past, and he's the same God, and he's capable of doing it again in the present and in the future. So today we are just going to share a few testimonies from our own lives or from the lives of other people that has touched us. So we'll just get started and dive in.
Right.
Well, Lali, do you want to share your first testimony?
Yeah, sure. So for me, as you already said, God has done a lot for us. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. Maybe we consider it as small or big, depending on where we are coming from. But I don't think, I mean, in my case, let me rephrase, I don't think in my case there's been a small or a big testimony, because I see all of them to be the same as testimonies, you know. It doesn't look big or small, but I just see it as God being able to do something for me. So first of all, I quite remember like starting this semester, I transitioned from my master's into my PhD, right? So I had a degree plan, everything in place, and just to go ahead with my PhD. And I knew the number of years that I was going to spend. It's just some extra 2 years. It could even be less, probably be like a year and a half, because I had fulfilled most of my course requirements. So I knew that even before, like, I was starting my first semester and stuff. So I was just working hard towards that, knowing that somewhere like ending of my first semester, like, I was going to prepare and take my comprehensive exam. That's like the PhD qualifying exam. So I had everything in place. I wrote my proposal, all those things, and then only for me to hear that, oh, this is not the right time for you to take it. And then I was so crushed. I was confused. I asked my professor. She was like, she's also confused too, because she knew that I was up for it and I was supposed to start taking it sooner or later. So all this thing was as a result of like the head of department, like, trying to do some stuff because she doesn't really like my professor. It's like they have something going on, and I didn't know about that. So I complained to my professor, and then she was like, this is not the first time that such a thing has been done to your students. She feels like the program coordinator has some resentment towards her, and as a result of that, she can't take it on my professor, but she's taking it on my professor's students. And so I became a victim of it. And so I went to her straight, and I was like, this is my degree plan, and this is my plan. I'm supposed to graduate soon, maybe in a year and a half or two. And you are going to prolong it if you don't let me take my comprehensive exam. And she was like, there's nothing that can be done about it. I was like, okay, fine. So myself and then my friend Victor, we drafted a letter. We're going to send it to the graduate school, the dean of the graduate school, everything, just to sort this thing out, because it wasn't really making sense. But I realized at a point that writing all those letters, confronting, seeing all these officers wasn't working. It felt like we were doing everything out of our own strength. So what we did was we just started to pray about that. And when we started to pray about that, a few days, a week, then one day we just decided to schedule a meeting with the program manager. And then initially, if you schedule a meeting with her, she was ignoring us. But that day when we scheduled a meeting with her, she accepted it. And we're like, okay, fine. So we found all our facts, everything that we needed, our documents, everything, and then we faced her. And then before we had the meeting, like, we just said a prayer and told God that, see, God, we cannot fight her, but we know that the heart of the king is in the hands of God, and you do whatsoever you will it with it. So we are praying that God favor us as we go through this meeting. We didn't even start talking, and the woman was like, oh yeah, we've rectified the mistake, I'm so sorry, like, pardon me, blah blah blah, like saying saying a whole lot of stories and things. And it was such it was so amazing. And even at a point, some of the classes that aren't supposed to be waived for us, she was like, oh, I waived the classes for you guys, go ahead and take your comprehensive exam. And I just see that to be God.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I just see that to be God. We wouldn't have done that by ourselves, because if we had to go straight to the graduate school, it will be some sort of investigation, and then we will go through a process, and we'll just waste our own time.
Yeah.
But God helped us, and he delivered us from something great. So, yeah. What about you?
That's amazing. That's amazing. That just goes to show that, like, prayer works. Mm-hmm. And, like, when we pray about things, like, God actually comes to our aid and he answers us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 After that, not to cut you off, sorry, but after that day, I realized that every single thing that happens to me in life can be solved by prayer, or through prayer, and just reading the word and just accepting what God has written in his word. There's no solution. I think in our previous podcast, we talked about there's no solution that you cannot find. That's like every solution to life or every problem to life has a solution in the Bible.
Yeah,
you can find it when you read the word of God and you pray on it, quoting God by his scriptures, his words, his own words, holding to his scriptures, and it will come true.
So I just think that God is a good father. Like, sometimes we pray about things and we don't get it. Because we don't get it, we think that God has, like, ignored us, or God doesn't care about us.
Yeah,
but, like, if he is, like, he's a good father, right? He will not withhold anything good from us. And so I just feel like, unless it's not, like, the time for you to get it, then you will not get it. But if it's the time for you to get it, you definitely get
you will. Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
yeah. So I have a testimony. It's a testimony that, like, a friend shared with me recently. It's about this lady in our church choir. Like, she always inspires me just with the way she sings and stuff.
Right.
So recently, my friend was telling me that she had lunch with her, and they were talking, and the lady was like, you know, do you know why I praise God so much? And my friend was like, no, I don't. Tell me. And she was like, yeah, when I got married, we tried to have a baby for about 6 years to no avail. And then God showed up and we had the baby.
Right.
And then 6 months after we had the baby, I just started feeling a pain in my tummy. And I was rushed to the hospital only to be told that I have pancreatic cancer. And I have, like, just a few months to live, at most a year to live.
Yeah.
And so they rushed her to, like, they booked an appointment for her to, like, start, like, cancer treatment and stuff in Chicago, because they have, like, the best, like, pancreatic cancer surgeons, right?
Right.
So she was scheduled to have a surgery. And even with that, because, like, that is the center for that, they have a lot of appointments and, like, their calendar is always full. But even with that, God made a way for her to get an appointment in time. So she started her chemotherapy in Arkansas to prepare her for the surgery. And so she had to move her 6-month-old, and, like, two of her relatives. They got an apartment in Chicago. Like, you know, moving and all of that, that comes with its own cost and all of that. And, like, for someone who is sick with cancer and, like, dying, like, it will even be tougher on her. And with a 6-month-old, you know, like, imagine, like, praying for something so bad and then you get it, and then all of a sudden that thing is going to be taken away from you, or you are not able to raise that thing, or you are not able to be with that thing, right? And in this case, a baby, a human being. So the day of the surgery came, and before the surgery, they wanted to make sure, like, they know where the cancer is and everything. So they did a scan, Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, you need to get into surgery right now because the cancer is spreading like so bad.
Oh my gosh.
So they prepared like the room for her. The surgery usually like takes 16 hours. And interestingly, she was working in healthcare, so she has seen those kind of surgeries being done before.
Mm-hmm.
And she told my friend that, you know, those kind of surgeries, even when you do it, you don't live. Like, mm-hmm. even when they do it and remove the cancer, you still don't live, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they prepared the room and everything. She was going to be in surgery for 16 hours.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, the doctors came out after 3 hours.
Whoa.
And they called their husband and they were like, we ran a test this morning. The cancer was spreading. We have been in there for 3 hours looking for the pancreatic cancer. Oh, we cannot find it.
Oh my gosh.
So,
oh my gosh. Thank you.
So, wow. Like, I mean, around 9 a.m., the cancer was spreading. But around, like, 11 a.m., the cancer had vanished. Like, they could see the test results from the morning. And they could see the test results from, like, hours later. And there was no pancreatic cancer. Like, it had vanished, you know? And they spent hours, 3 hours looking for the cancer, but they couldn't find it. Now she's like, she has even given birth again. And like, this was like 5 years ago and she's still alive.
God,
so
God is good.
Yeah.
What? It's like, oh, God is like a show off sometimes.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Like, I'm the creator of the universe. I created this human being. I call the shots, you know? You can tell her that she has it. You know, I can heal her. Oh my God. And
Jehovah overdid that.
Exactly. Like, he just overdid it. And these are like the overwhelming testimonies that can just leave you like outstanding. You know, absent-minded. You're seated there and you don't know what's going on, but there's nothing wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of testimonies are actually amazing. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, a similar thing that happened to my brother. So I think earlier this year, no, like somewhere latter part of last year, somewhere November, December, that was when he stopped taking the steroids. So what happened was, I think somewhere 2020, early 2020, they came back from church all of a sudden, then he passed out, and that was the beginning of his illness. They ran a lot of tests. All he was doing was his blood level was low, and his blood level was at the point where like he should have been dead, but he was having that low level, but then he was still alive, you know. And then all they could do was just give him transfusions, and according to medical people, they say when you have a lot of transfusions, like, it can kill you. But I'm pretty sure he had more than 20 transfusions. Like, at a go, within, like, that period, always taking blood and everything. At the point, they diagnosed him of cancer, leukemia, bone marrow cancer. And then they also said he had radiation in his body, anemia, a whole lot of things. But, you know, like, the doctors in Ghana, it was just, like, a try and error thing. They didn't really know what was wrong. Today, they'll put him on this medicine, tomorrow, this medicine. The steroids, like, made him bloated. His head became very bigger. Like, his body was, like, so proportional. He was struggling to walk. He couldn't even move. Like, a whole lot of things was so wrong. And at home, pressure, everything was just so dysfunctional. But last year, last part of last year, he just went to the hospital, and then they just told him that there's nothing wrong with him. His blood level hasn't dropped. It's normal. No more transfusions. No, the drugs were costing. The drugs were costing so, so much. That he had to be on those drugs every single day, or else if he doesn't, we don't know what will happen to him. Sometimes they'll be giving him the blood transfusion and then it's coming back. No blood is going through his vein. Nothing.
Wow.
No food, no water, nothing. It was really unbearable. It was really, really unbearable. And I quite remember, like, every night I would sleep and all I would see was, like, have terrible dreams of he dying. And then, like, in the dream, I would be crying, I would be screaming, no, you cannot die, you cannot die. I just wake up and I would be sweating. And I didn't understand all those things. But then I felt like he was almost dead.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, he was almost dead. He, like, a dead person walking alive.
Mm-hmm.
That was the stage that he got to. Dead
Mm-hmm.
person walking alive. But now, somewhere November or December, he went for a checkup and they told him everything was fine. He just got back, took all those drugs, all those medicines that he had bought, put it in the dumpster. And he told himself that he's never going, ever, ever, ever going to take any of this medicine anymore in his life. No transfusions, nothing. At the point, there was one person that was asked to come and transfuse blood to him. And when they took the guy's blood, that day, it's like they were in a rush. They were just going to give the blood that they are taking from somebody straight to him. And then my dad was like, no, they should check the blood before. When they checked it, the guy had infections.
Oh, my God.
So imagine if they had just transfused that directly, he'd have been infected. Like, who knows what would have happened to him? Transfer of diseases, all those things could have just happened. But, yeah. But we thank God that now he's fine. He's doing okay. Doing okay. No illness. Nothing's eating fine. No, he hasn't been to the hospital since November.
That's amazing. He's fine.
Yeah.
God is good.
No, God is very good. Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah.
Well, another testimony that I will share is about, like, me getting into, like, a PhD program, I think I'll share that. Okay.
Wow.
So, I remember, like, in August of 2021, I had told myself that I'm going to start, like, recording the things that God does in my life. So, like, my voice recording, my voice memos on my phone, like, I record how I feel at a particular moment, so that, like, in the future, like, I'll play it and then I'll see what God has done. Yeah. So, I remember, like, in August, like the later part of August, like I was telling God that, you know what, God, for PhD, I want to go to a really good school, like
school.
Ivy League type of school, and I want it to be like a private school, and also I don't want to teach anybody, I don't want to be a graduate assistant, I don't want to be a teaching assistant or anything, but I want a PhD program that I do not have to do any of those things. If I want to do it, it's voluntary for extra money. And I was looking for programs to apply to, and I didn't even find, like, what I was looking for. And then all of a sudden, one day I was on LinkedIn, and I saw that someone said they went to Brandeis University. And then I was like, Brandeis University? I've never heard of that before. So I Googled it, and then I went to, like, their pages. Like, they have this hella school. And then I saw a PhD in social policy, and I was like, I have never thought of that. Like, that aligns so much with the things that I want to do. And, like, the program is so well-rounded that, like, it's not focused on academia. Like, actually, the program is only 30% of their graduates that are in academia. The rest, like, work for Facebook, Apple, UN, IMF, and other as research consultants and stuff. And I was like, this is great. This is perfect. This is where I want to go to. And then I checked their their admissions rate. I mean, their regular admissions rate for the school is, like, acceptance rate for the school is, like, 33%, which is very low.
Yeah.
And for their PhD, is about 7% for that particular PhD program. In fact, I think it's less than that. I think it's about 5%. So I was like, ah, God, this is a reach. I know that this is a reach. And I know that, like, this school is one of, like, the best schools in the U.S.
Right.
And so, and it's also a private school, and it's so costly, and I cannot pay. And interestingly, for their PhD program, they did not also allow, if you get admitted, like, they pay for everything, like insurance, everything is covered. You don't have to be, like, an assistant or a teaching assistant or anything. You just, if you want to do that, it's for your own extra money, right? So that even was like, God, this is who I want to go to. So I remember, like, somewhere in September, I recorded a voice note, and then I prayed in that voice note saying that, God, you gave me this school, so I am going to, you know, apply, and then I'll see how it goes. And I was so scared to apply, in fact. So I applied, like, 5 days before the deadline, like, procrastinating, because I was scared, because I was like, this school, like, the people who go to Harvard and, like, Stanford apply for these kind of PhD programs, right? And, like, I didn't go to any of that. So I was really scared. And then in January, I discovered Grad Cafe. It's this freaking website mm-hmm. where people like post their admission decisions and stuff, and your heart will always be beating like whenever you go to that website.
Mm-hmm.
And then on February 18th, like I was asleep, and then I got like an email, and then I had applied to this school with some other people, and then they were all calling me like, the admission decisions are in, you should check. I was so scared. I called my mom and she didn't pick up because I wanted to check with her. I was so scared, and she had been praying for me and stuff. So I asked my friends if they got in, and they were like, nah, we didn't get in and stuff. And I was like, okay, now I became more scared, right? Because
mm-hmm.
one of the people that actually applied already had a doctorate and she did not get in. So I was like, what about me? Like, yo, I'm so scared. And then I checked and I had gotten in. Like, I don't know. I cannot describe how I felt in that moment. But, like, I just couldn't believe it. I was just like, these people probably made a mistake and they're going to, like, call me back probably because it was a Friday. And I was like, they're probably going to call me back on Monday and think, like, oh, it was a mistake, you know? We take it back. So I did not even tell anybody. I did not even want to tell anybody until, like, we had, like, our admitted students event. And apparently they admitted just 12 people out of about 300 people. Like, I just, like, so... And out of, like, the crazy thing is, for the 12 people that they admitted, it's 4 different concentrations. So really, they admitted 3 people... From like, so for every about 27 people that were rejected, I was accepted. Like, that is like how crazy it is. That's how crazy it is.
That's so amazing.
Like, yes. So I'm very like grateful for that. And the fact that I don't have to teach or be a graduate assistant unless I want to earn extra money. And the fact that everything is covered. And the fact that like this opens like opportunities that like I never knew that existed, because the more I learn about the program, like, the more I learn about the opportunities, because it's so quantitative focused that, like, you can fit anywhere. You can fit into tech, you can fit into nonprofit, you can fit into, like, government. So, like, it's just what I want. And, like, it's what is aligned with my future and my future goals. So, I just, you know, like, when I think about those things, I'm just like, God has done it and God will do it again. Exactly. There's nothing that God cannot do. So, like, these days, I don't even, like, bother or, like, think so much about, like, my future, because I just think that God's got it.
Yeah, he definitely has it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. God's ways are not our ways, indeed.
Yeah.
And he knows, he always gives us things that will benefit us or to help us. Sometimes at a point in life, we feel like, oh, we are not good enough, or we are not good enough for this, and all that. At a point where, I think there was something that I left in my testimony, at a point where I was having that issue with my program coordinator, my professor asked me to apply to other schools, and she was ready to give me a recommendation to transfer to Ohio State University. And like, at that moment, I was in a fix. I was in a state of confusion. And then I just prayed and I asked God that, God, is this what you really want me to do? Because if you wanted this to happen, you'd have taken me to Ohio State straight. So why did you give me the opportunity here? And why are you making me face this? So with everything, you just sit down and think about it. You know, you can't follow Christ without having adversity.
Exactly.
You have to face it. But those challenges, I think in Philippians, it talks about to count it all joy when you suffer or something. I've forgotten the scripture. But then he said in our suffering, we should be happy about it because he's actually training us for the things that he has to give us or is ahead of us, you know. So you don't just, like, give up like that. But at the right time, when he comes through, he comes through. So, it's so amazing. We thank God.
God is good.
Yeah.
God is really good. He's good. He's faithful.
Very, 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 very faithful. Well.
So, I guess that brings us to the end of our episode today. We hope, like, you were encouraged through us sharing our testimonies of God's healing and God's, like, just his hand over like our lives and the lives of our families and right. people that are close to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray that like through our testimonies, you know, mm-hmm. and as you listen and as you believe, like God also like answers your prayers.
That's good. Yeah. See you guys next week.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Yeah. 'Kay. Hello guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and give us feedback.
Love you all
and peace.